You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Everybody, Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is my good friend, Joe Dowdell. Now, you may very well know of Joe as one of the most influential and well-recognized professionals in our industry, longtime owner of Peak Performance, one of the top 10 gyms in men's health for, gosh, probably as long as they rank gyms. And more recently, Joe is moving on to do more of an online thing and not just be, you know, serving the local New York market. But you've probably also seen Joe in, you know, all the popular fitness magazines. He's trained probably just about every celebrity under the sun. I'm really excited to just let Joe tell some of his story here and some of what's in store. Because not only are you guys going to learn plenty, I'm sure, I'm confident I will too. So welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
So let's kind of start. I mean, how did you get into, you know, the training industry?
I kind of backed into it in a sort of a roundabout way. During college, I kind of started a career working in the modeling industry. So as soon as I graduated college, I was actually coming up to New York while I was in school and working. And then as soon as I finished school, I moved to New York full time. And from there, I basically, for the better part of about 7 years, spent my time between New York, Paris, and Milan as my sort of three main cities. But I did end up living in many different countries, Greece, Spain, Germany. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, while I was working in that industry, I had a lot of downtime in between jobs and things like that. And so I spent a lot of time working out and training. Pretty much everywhere I went and lived, I joined a gym. And then I also joined a place so I could do boxing or kickboxing. You'll say, even though I wasn't in the fitness industry, I was very active in training and working out. I was kind of absorbing and learning from what I was seeing in other countries being done.
So how did you make that transition? Because, I mean, that's a pretty big leap to go from kind of the, you know, a fitness enthusiast to eventually owning one of the most popular training gyms in the United States. How did you make that jump?
Well, so when I was in New York, the girl I was dating was working out with a trainer. And he was an ex-strength coach who actually had trained as a strength coach in the NFL. And he was living in New York, so I would go to the gym and always work out on my own while she was working with the trainer. And then one day after one of the sessions when she went down to the locker room to get some of her things, he and I struck up a conversation. And he basically, you know, mentioned to me, like, you know, about fitness. And he thought that, you know, it might be something that, you know, I should look into and be interested in. And at that point, really, personal training really wasn't that, you know, something that I knew a lot about, and I really didn't know if there was much of an opportunity as a career. And he kind of explained to me that there was, and it was really kind of a sort of a on the early stages of the industry. So he kind of, you know, mentioned it to me. He told me about one or two certifications that were out there that were at the time that were kind of more well known and prevalent. So I decided, because at that time, to be honest, I was also kind of thinking about what I was going to do after modeling, like what did I want to transition into? And I was thinking about acting and things like that, but I really enjoyed working out. I really enjoyed fitness. I kind of, you know, took his advice and I looked into one of the courses. I believe the first course I took was the ACE certification. So I just, you know, bought all the material and signed up and started to immerse myself in it. And I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I mean, you know, as I was reading through all the different information, I was starting to apply it to my own training. And I don't know, I just became addicted. And from there, I started to slowly transition myself out of the modeling industry although I stayed in a little bit just so I could keep making money, and really just started to take all these different certification courses. Like I took the NASM back when it was like a multi-day course, and you know, they had a whole hands-on component, and there was all these really sort of big names in the industry that were actually teaching for them way back when. Yeah, and then from there, every time I took a course, or I think I went to an idea conference at that point, because that was like a really, really big conference back in that day. I think it still is. And as I would sit in lectures, I would take a note of anybody that really sort of, you know, sort of inspired me. And then I would make a point to go up to them after their lecture and see if there was any other opportunity to potentially learn from them in a more than 55 minutes from a lecture. And that's sort of how I really started to get to sort of educate myself. As I would, you know, meet people at conferences and lectures and things like that, or come across a name in the industry that, you know, when I was reading their material or studying things like that, that really, I just really liked what they had to say and the way that they presented themselves or the material. I would start to reach out to them and see what opportunity there might be to go and learn from them, either in a mentorship manner or in a multi-day, you know, course or seminar. And so, you know, some of my early, I guess you'd say, mentors and people that I spent a lot of time with in the early days of my career were people like, I don't know, like Paul Check and Charles Poliquin and Ian King, Dr. Fred Hatfield. I even went, you know, I knew nothing about powerlifting at all. I mean, seriously. And I went out and spent 2 days with, you know, Louis Simmons and Dave Tate. And every time I'd go to one of these places, I would ask, you know, the people that were there, you know, the instructor, if they could give me three names of other people that they would recommend, them knowing me and knowing what my sort of my strengths and weaknesses are and where I was at that time and my learning curve, of people they would recommend that I would go and learn from. And that's how I did it. Everywhere I went, I would go and I would spend time, you know, in an internship or a course and ask for names. And that's, you know, how I just started to, you know, spend a lot of time with some really, really smart people and started to, you know, immerse myself.
Very cool. So, you know, you obviously put a lot of time into, you know, learning the craft and becoming better at what you do. Well, how did you turn that into having your own gym?
So, you know, during the early part of the process while I was learning, because I had a lot of connections in the fashion industry, I was offered a job at a gym, which I only spent basically 11 months at. I grew up actually, my dad was sort of an entrepreneur. So it was just sort of I was always, you know, sort of drilled into my head that, you know, be your own boss. So I went and worked at a gym for about 11 months just to sort of get a feel for, you know, what it would take to sort of like run a gym, but really just sort of like get a feel for the industry. And I quickly realized that, you know, there were very few of the other trainers that were in this gym that actually had any kind of credentials or were certified. And really, to be quite honest, most of them didn't have a desire to even do so. They had sort of built their businesses based off of their looks and, you know, things like that. So, which was a little bit frustrating because, you know, I was spending all this time and money and traveling and learning. And I just felt like I wasn't being rewarded properly, you know, in that environment for me, what I thought was doing the right thing. So I built up quite a large training following, you know, while I was there. And because I think some of the people that, you know, I was working with, they sort of took notice more so than, let's say, the owner or the management. I was still modeling. So I was, you know, had making money as well, more money than I was making training, and decided that I was going to start my own thing. So taking the money I had, I moved into a live work loft, kind of near an area in the city called Union Square, which was at the time not as nice as it is now, but nice. But it was only about a block and a half from the gym that I was working at. So I bought all my own equipment. I set up a little 400 square foot section inside my loft, and I began training all my clients out of my live work loft, my home. And, you know, while I was doing that, I started to sort of tap into the fashion network that I had and started to train some people in that industry. And at the time, notably, trained this one model who had done Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but had never really trained for it. She just sort of, you know, she did a lot of yoga and she was in good shape, but she really wanted to like train for it and like, you know, really take an effort and really go for it. So we trained and got her ready for it and she did it. You know, this was a girl who had regularly appeared in it and everybody noticed a huge difference. And so from that, I started getting opportunities for like for Cosmopolitan magazine and all these other things, like interviews and things like that, based off of this one model who, you know, was in Sports Illustrated. Then sort of how it started to, you know, steamroll, because from that, then I got, you know, a stylist as a client. And then she was working with different celebrities. So I started training some celebrities that she recommended. And it just sort of, you know, built.
I mean, when I look at that, like from a kind of a 30,000 foot view perspective, you know, I mean, somebody could say, well, yeah, okay, he knew people at, you know, that were influencers and they, you know, I mean, he was able to get connections with Cosmo or whatever else. But then the thing that I started to think about there, while you were saying that, that is kind of the other side is not, I mean, you just tapped into who you knew, just relationships you had. And all of us have contacts, all of us have relationships, but most of us don't leverage them in the way that you did. So no, I think that was really
I just, you know, look, I mean, you know, living in a city like New York or living in a city like Los Angeles, you know, it does present, you know, certain opportunities, you know, especially having access to, you know, higher profile clients or even really high net worth clients. But you have to remember that even though you have access, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you will get those clients and keep them. You know, you still have to provide, you know, good customer service. You still have to do a good job. So yes, I had access, but to me, I kept hustling. You know, like I said, I started out in 400 square feet. I built up my business there. I started to, you know, get asked to do some, you know, some interviews for different magazines or, you know, provide workouts. And I started doing that. And, you know, after about 2.5 years of working in my home, you know, and training all my clients from, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning till about 8, 9:30 at night. And this, by the way, I was living with my girlfriend at the time. So, you know, I had people in my house all day. So, you know, it was, you know, not easy for her. You know, I decided at that point that I needed to move to a bigger space. So I sort of, you know, I wrote a business plan and I had to, you know, I started looking for spaces and I found like this really great space over in Gramercy Park. It was like a 2,000 square foot, you know, studio. I had, you know, saved up money from both training and the modeling. And I had obviously had a bunch of equipment already in my home, but I still needed to buy more. And, you know, I moved. I signed a 5-year lease. At the time, that's all they would sign was a 5-year lease. And, you know, I did the whole thing on my own. And, you know, I opened up my first studio. And for a while when I was in there, it was just me. I was going in there at, you know, 5 a.m, opening up the door. And I would stay there till 9 o'clock at night. I'd bring my dogs. The only time I left the gym or the studio was to walk the dogs around the block, you know, and to go home at night. So, I mean, I was the guy cleaning the gym. I was the guy, you know, fixing the toilet. I, you know, I was training my clients. I didn't want to leave because, you know, God forbid somebody stopped by and buzzed the buzzer and wanted to find out about the gym. You know, I mean, so I was working, you know, 70, 80, 90 hours a week when I was training my clients. And as I started training clients, I started getting some more clients. And then I had to hire my first sort of trainer to come, you know, sort of work for me. I started, you know, giving them some of my excess clients. And I just kept building. And, you know, also at the time, I was kept at it. I kept, you know, doing stuff for magazines and interviews for different things. I think one of the, you know, I ended up doing something with a guy named Jeff O'Connell, who really kind of gave me my what I would consider my biggest opportunity. I started doing some media pieces with him. And, you know, he really, at the time, I think he was working for Men's Health at first. And then he went over to Men's Fitness and started working there. And he gave me an opportunity to do 12 months, a one-year periodized program for men's fitness. And so every month in the magazine, my workout program for the reader was in there. So I had 12 straight months, and it was for the millennial, it was the year 2000. So I put together an entire program that was periodized over 12 months, for the reader to follow. And it went really, really, really well and got a lot of coverage. So from there, then, I was able to get a lot more opportunities for, men's health and muscle and fitness. And when he went over to Muscle and Fitness, he brought me over there with him. And I was doing articles for Muscle and Fitness and Muscle and Fitness Hers. And yeah, so, as the opportunities came in, I just made sure I did a really good, thorough job with, in those opportunities. And that created more opportunities.
Yeah, some of this stuff is so much common sense that, hey, leverage the relationships you have instead of spending all your time out chasing other things. When you're presented with opportunities, do great work. It's all common sense, but it's not nearly common practice frequently enough that people miss out on, all the stuff that's kind of right there in their own backyard. So,
yeah, you have low hanging fruit, right? And then you have, the fruit that's way, way, way up at the top that you need to climb to get to, right?
Yeah.
But typically, if you do really good job with the low lying fruit, next thing you know, you can move your ladder up a few rungs and maybe you'll get access to some of that, that medium height fruit, And then if you do really well, in those opportunities, you will get opportunities. I believe that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I don't know anybody that I've encountered that hasn't had at least some opportunities. It's usually what they do with them. So You have a gym at this point. You're starting to get some notoriety. How does that go from being just another kind of cool gym in New York to being something that's recognized as kind of an industry leader that you got just, so many celebrities training out of? It just goes from being another good gym to kind of a standard bearer. How does that happen?
When I had the studio, I was there all the time. It started to limit my ability to sort of travel to go learn. So what I started to do is, instead of traveling to learn, was to start to host these people at my gym. And because it was my studio, and it was because I was going to, get the benefits of the education, I would typically host weekend workshops, especially in the summer months in New York City, a lot of clients travel and they're away on the weekend. So it really presented a great opportunity to kind of use the studio as a way to not only educate myself, but also make a little bit of money, getting a little piece of the action of bringing in people and having them do like a 1 or 2 day seminar at the gym and then having trainers sign up. So I kind of became one of the first places, I think, that was really like becoming an education hub for trainers. So a lot of trainers started coming through my doors because I was bringing in all these great courses. And sometimes we would even bring in, seminars that were a mentorship that were even a week long. We wouldn't close the whole gym down. We'd still have people working and training there. But, we would have a whole mentorship going on in one little area of the gym. That was the way that I was able to continue to learn, as well as sort of build up profile of my gym as being a place that was on the cutting edge, of trainer education. And, this was at that studio. And after 3 years in the studio, the business, I had a lot more trainers working there. We had so many clients. I sort of was outgrowing the size of the space. So at that point, I started thinking about what I wanted to do next. And I knew that I wanted to, find a bigger space. So I actually hired a business advisor because I knew that going from, a one-man sort of, let's call it a one-man mom and pop shop to maybe something, bigger, that was going to require more of a team-based approach to sort of run it and build it. I needed to bring in someone who was, you know, smarter than I was, let's call it in that regard, and help me sort of flesh out a business plan and, you know, and a marketing sort of plan. So I hired somebody, a guy that, you know, he had actually done some work for Con Edison and a few other, you know, major companies, and he was a freelance, and I got recommended. He was recommended, so I hired him. And I kind of got, like, I guess you'd call it like a little bit of a master's education in business through this guy in an informal sort of way. But we would meet every week and we would, you know, we'd have meetings and give me sort of assignments to do. And that's sort of how I, you know, learned a lot more about the actual business. And we sort of collaborated and wrote this business plan together. And that was when I went and got my first, you know, I got a bank loan plus my own money. And then my dad also, thankfully, was in a position to help me a bit too. And I found space in Chelsea. It was pre-9/11. So I signed this lease for 10,000 square foot space and, you know, began building it post 9/11 and opened in August 2002 is when I opened the 21st Street location. Moved my existing business with my trainers to the new location and just started to build that up. And hire, you know, kind of got a PR person, traded. I was, you know, I did some bartering, which I don't know if, you know, in certain situations, I think bartering can be really beneficial, you know, for people, you know, and if you got a good service and you can barter with somebody, especially when you really maybe can't afford to pay somebody, you know, because their services might be a little bit out of your range. It's a good alternative, especially in the early stages of growing your business.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, the kind of leveraging what you have keeps coming to mind, right? Like, I mean, the bartering concept is often overlooked, but, I mean, what do you have? If you don't have, you don't have money, you still have something that is valuable currency, right? I mean, you've got your services.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that the way that I, you know, the way that I carved out my path is, you know, going to work for everybody. And I'm not even saying it may not even have been the smartest way. I'm not sure, you know, but it worked for me. And, you know, I didn't do anything that was like, you know, mind blowing. I just really kind of tried to work hard. And then I tried to work a little smarter and I tried to leverage my connections and I tried to provide, you know, a valuable, you know, product and service and, you know, and tried to, you know, do so. It got me noticed. And that's really kind of how I sort of always built my business is just in that manner.
Well, I mean, but obviously it worked. I mean, let's take it up to kind of the conclusion when you decided, hey, it's, you know, time to move away from having my physical space here. I mean, what did peak performance look like kind of at the end? So we've talked through the beginning, we talked through some of the journey. What did it look like at the end?
This is kind of the first time that I'm actually going to actually talk about it. But so what happened was everything was, you know, I was looking to take Peak to another level. I had, again, hired another advisor and I had started to put together a team, an incredible team, actually. And the idea was going to be to build out something that was just so, because when I actually opened up the Peak on 54 West 21st, 2002, it was really quite a unique facility. There wasn't really many places out there like it. It was very cutting edge. I mean, you know, it was 2002, but it felt like, you know, you were sort of training in 2010, if that makes sense, based on, you know, the sort of the knowledge that was being, you know, expressed on the training floor, the setup and the equipment and the environment. And, you know, I think that was also what sort of kind of put us out on the edge or, on, you know, leading, I guess you'd call it, in the industry. And again, I was always big about, you know, education. And I feel like that attracted a lot of really great, you know, eager and young, talented and older trainers that wanted to be a part of that. And we just had a really great, you know, environment and a great team. And that helped us attract great clients. You know, my whole idea is I wanted to do something bigger. I wanted to do something that was more far-reaching than what I was currently doing in the industry. And, you know, I had a couple of advisors and friends and things like that that are, you know, really, really well established in various other industries. And a lot of them just kept saying to me, you need to scale. You need to scale. You need to, you know, be more global. And so the only way that I could think about that kept coming to mind about how to scale was on the internet. Because, you know, to scale a gym is very capital intensive and very labor intensive. And, you know, doesn't happen quickly. I mean, obviously if Peak would have happened, I would have, you know, I was in it, I would have done it. And, you know, our plan was to scale, but scaling would have taken time. Obviously the beautiful thing about the internet, I think when it's done properly, is you can scale a business very quickly. And so I decided in January of this past January that I was going to transition into the online sort of fitness world. And I knew that I didn't want to just do online coaching for clients. I always had this thing where I always wanted to always try to do something to help trainers, you know, be better trainers, you know, sort of make their jobs easier. So in the process of, you know, not only building out what is going to be my sort of, I would say it's B2C, my business to consumer platform, I aggressively started to think about what I could do from a B2B standpoint and a business to business standpoint that could help trainers. So when I was at Peak, we had, since we were always doing stuff for education, I sort of had amassed a lot of educational content. We were using a lot of that in-house. I had webinars and live seminars and stuff that were all recorded, and we had quizzes and tests for it, and I had gotten a lot of these courses credentialed and through the NSCA for CEUs. And since Peak wasn't going to happen as a brick and mortar gym, I still thought I wanted to have some way of sort of kind of having that legacy of it being sort of this influential place, especially from an educational standpoint, to sort of live on. So I decided, we talked about, is I was going to launch something called Peak Perform University. And that's going to be an online educational platform where I have about 20 courses already inside this platform. And it will allow fitness professionals to have access to what I feel is some really high-level, highly curated content. There's about 11 different presenters inside the system so far. I've already spoken to about another 5 to 8 different people that I have good relationships with in the industry about adding content to it. And my goal is to sort of build this platform out to where, you know, it's got like 50 or whatever courses in there. And it becomes sort of a go-to resource for the education of the online education of fitness professionals. I still don't think that it's going to ever replace going in person and taking a course and learning in person. There's just so much value to that. But I do feel that, you know, nowadays, you know, especially with the internet and stuff, it's a great way for people to be able to maybe have access to people that, you know, they wouldn't normally have access to unless they spent a lot of money on traveling and also, you know, leaving their work and losing that time as well, or having to leave their family and sort of be able to learn at their own pace. I mean, this is not anything novel. I think there's a few places out there that are doing it. I just think that, you know, I have access to some relationships with some really, really great people and some really smart people that I've learned a lot from. And so, again, it comes back to leveraging relationships. So, you know, I'm going to launch this and I'm going to, you know, not only, you know, help people learn more, but also what I'm trying to do is provide some of these really smart people a platform where they can, you know, develop some course content and, you know, put it in this platform, and for them, it becomes a passive income generating opportunity, because I'm going to, you know, I'll do all the work and take care of it and promote it. And, you know, it allows them an opportunity to put out great content, but also leverage it where they can make money in doing so. And then the other area that I have, that I've been working on, and it's getting close to being done, is I'm building out something called Ultimate Fitness Trainer. And this is another B2B opportunity or platform I've filmed over 1,000 exercise videos, and basically I'm building an online, it's like a program design system for trainers. It's going to have this massive library with all the exercise descriptions already done, you know, completely searchable through keywords. There are, for every, pretty much for almost all the exercises, there'll be, you know, one or two progressions or regressions. So it helps trainers, you know, quickly maybe identify something that might make sense. Their client is maybe can't do the exercise that they originally were thinking about, whether they logistically don't have the equipment or they just aren't ready for that exercise, or maybe they're too advanced for that exercise and they could do something a little bit more challenging. So I've built in a lot of this stuff already, and there's some other really cool things that we're going to be doing with it. I've also built out about 130, you know, training programs that are already sort of done for you programs based on various training goals that the trainer will have access to. And those programs will be fed directly by the database. So it's, in essence, it's going to cut out a lot of work for a lot of trainers. Now, they don't have to actually necessarily use the program, you know, verbatim. They'll have the opportunity to sort of, you know, swap things in and out. But, you know, it can give them, you know, a sort of a platform that, that they can build from. And I have other ideas too. We want to eventually take this whole platform after we've really had it out there for a while. And I have an idea of how to take that and flip it into a consumer app. So basically the last 9 months, I've been working on three different business ventures, and I have the idea for the fourth. And that's all going to start to launch in probably the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, man, I like that. So one of the things that I commonly do on the podcast is to ask the experts like yourself, what maybe 2 to 3 things that you would offer up as advice, you know, 2 to 3 tips or ideas that a fitness professional, you know, a fitness entrepreneur could use to help them be more successful in their career, be more successful in building the business, really just be better.
Okay, so I have a few, I think, that I think are worth mentioning. One is a common mistake that I see with a lot of trainers is, or fitness professionals, is they spend a lot of their time and energy and education only in the fitness industry. And they don't necessarily expand out into learning about other industries, whether it's sales or marketing or business or God or anything. I mean, just, you know, learning and reading and even attending courses. I mean, I have a goal that I want to get into real estate investing. That's just something that always sort of fascinated me. So over the last year, I've been going to real estate courses, and I've been, you know, listening to real estate podcasts and just, you know, reading a ton of books on real estate investing. You know, just by doing that, I've learned so much. You know, obviously it's, you know, it's not fitness related, but, you know, it's really expanded, you know, my knowledge base. And, you know, quite frankly, it's helped me when I'm in a social setting and I've been around people that are, you know, smart business people that are involved in real estate investments, you know, to start chatting. And next thing you know, they're asking me what I do. And I tell them I'm a fitness professional. And now all of a sudden, they're asking me about that. So, you know, being more diversified in what you, you know, obviously you always want to continue about your craft, but diversifying and learning about other industries can be really beneficial to building your business. Because if you have some knowledge about other things, you can, it helps you strike up conversations with these people. And then inevitably, a lot of times it can lead back to what you do for your own living, you know, being a fitness professional. And sometimes it can lead to either that person as a direct client or them remembering you and referring you somebody that's, that they know that's looking to get in shape. So also finding mentors that are not just fitness industry, but mentors that are in other industries, business related, that you can tap into. And again, that could be something that could end up being a barter situation. You know, if you have a good service and you're someone you know, you can maybe train someone who's got, you know, maybe more, you know, knowledge in business or sales or marketing that might be able to help you out and your business. You can trade your services and, you know, train that person and use that as a way to, you know, learn more about sales and marketing or whatever aspect of your business that you might need to learn more.
Very cool.
And then in terms of other tips, I think one of the tips that, again, like came early on in my career was, you know, always was asking other, you know, industry leaders, you know, who they would recommend or what courses they would recommend for you as a fitness professional to take. You know, when I first started, and I don't know really know whether it's still the case, but I kind of went to some of the big, let's call them the big conferences that were like, you know, like the Perform Betters and IDEA and things like that. I went there more to find and to hear, well, one for networking, you know, with other fitness professionals, you know, meeting people and getting to, you know, actually spend time chatting, even about stuff that's maybe not even fitness related. But also to go there to see, to try to see as many different presenters as possible with the idea of not necessarily that I was going to learn a lot of stuff in that 50-minute lecture, but that I was going to learn more about whether I wanted to pursue learning from that person in greater depths. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfectly good sense.
So that's sort of how I used a lot of the bigger conferences. I didn't go there with the intent or the expectation that I was going to walk away from a 50-minute presentation. And I think that's something that really you can learn, obviously, some stuff in 50 minutes, obviously. But I feel like the key is taking deeper dives, like getting and going to conferences and seminars that are like 2 days, and it's maybe one or two people, presenters. Because that's how you're going to really be able to take, you know, these deep dives down into topics and really be able to, let's call it, brain pick these people and learn from them. You know, fortunately, not only did I have access to some really great people that I know, but I also worked and had a lot of really smart people at Peak, you know, and just some of our conversations, that's where you can learn so much, is these sort of informal, like deep dive conversations into different areas of training or nutrition or, you know, or hormones or whatever. I think there's value in going to, let's call them, you know, conferences where there's, you know, multiple presenters and, you know, it's like, you know, you're running from the 8:15 to 9 o'clock in class to the next one, to the next one. But I think the real deep, deep learning is going to comes through mentorships and multi-day conferences. So if I could give advice, I'd say go to some of these bigger conferences or like, you know, like Perform Better or the NSCA Personal Trainers Conference or something like that. And try to, you know, see, you know, a bunch of different presenters. And then from there, see, especially if you really like one and or like what they have to say, if there's an opportunity to maybe go and spend a few days, or if they teach a more in-depth course, if they offer their own trainer certification. And I think that's the opportunities where you can really get some tremendous learning. And not only that, but some like real great hands-on practical learning. Because I think, you know, it's great to learn a lot of things theoretically, but it's really important to have opportunities and learn from people, especially people that are really good and really smart, how to apply it in a practical setting.
So obviously that seems like a perfect segue for me to suggest how people can learn more about you. I know you've put together, you know, a gift, something people can kind of get a little bit more insight on what you're doing. They can connect with you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, sort of as a thank you for having me on the show and also to maybe hopefully, you know, help some trainers. You know, I actually have three different courses that I was sort of the instructor in that are going to be inside the Peak Perform University. But one of the courses that I thought might be fun to give away or give free access to the listeners from the podcast is something called the Modified Strongman Training Course. It's sort of an area that I kind of always enjoyed because I worked with a lot of fighters, MMA fighters and jiu-jitsu competitors, as well as a bunch of different other athletes. And I always found that it was not only was it an effective way to train people to get stronger and build up great, work capacity and things like that, but they always enjoyed it. You know, it was a lot of fun too, fun for them. I put together a course. I put it together because I wanted to make sure that my training staff understood how to use all the fun tools that we had at Peak, how to properly use them and how to program them into their, I'd say mostly their fat loss clients, to be honest. That's most of them were working with clients that were more looking for body comp changes, whereas I was maybe working with a little bit more some athletic population as well. But the carryover is so great, I guess you want to call it, and I hate using the word, but functional strength, because you're using these odd objects and instead of just a barbell and a dumbbell, and people really enjoy it. So I put together this course, and there's actually a live segment where all the people in the conference or the seminar, you want to call it, are actually going through a workout, and it's quite fun. So yeah, I'm going to give that away. It's a modified strongman course, probably about maybe an hour and a half or something like that. Maybe 2 hours. And yeah, so when they go to the sign-up form, I believe that's how we're doing it, I will email them back with a link to the course.
Very cool. Very cool. So we'll have the link in the show notes for you guys. And obviously there are other things that Joe's doing that we'll make sure that we have links to there. But above all else, Joe, thank you for sharing here today. And thank you guys for listening in. I mean, obviously you've had a huge impact on the industry in so many ways. And,
Hopefully good.
Yes, very, very good. And I'm excited, be able to share more of what's on the horizon. So thank you. And thanks to everybody listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thank you, Pat. And thank you for everyone that listened in.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut-and-paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.